WBSM presents The Barry Richards Show. Streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Text us using app chat on the WBSM app. Now, The Barry Richards Show.
And welcome to the program, 12:15 on a sunshiny Thursday afternoon. A little bit of a surprise because we were expecting more smoke today from the wildfires. And we are still told to expect it to arrive sometime, they said, late morning or by afternoon, we'd get some more smoke. But right now, it's just beautiful out there. And so get out and enjoy it. Humidity is rather low compared to yesterday. So it's not a bad day to get your steps in. We will check that forecast for you coming up as part of the 1 o'clock news. So stick around for that. Coming up in the 2 o'clock hour, right after the 2 o'clock news, we're going to spend a couple of moments with the Republican gubernatorial candidate Brian Shortsleeve on a number of things. He's got a debate scheduled tonight with Mike Minogue in Taunton. We don't know yet whether Mike Minogue is going to appear at that debate. I would say there's probably a very slim chance of that happening since he's not appeared in any debate yet. And this is taking place at Taunton Local Access Cable Television, or whatever the appropriate name of that is, and it will be broadcast live. And yours truly will be moderating that discussion tonight. So hope to see you then and there. I understand there will be a live audience. Holly Robichaud is with me. She's a strategist, of course, for the Brian Shortsleeve campaign. And I will see Holly there tonight, I assume. And
I will.
Thanks.
Yeah, hey, how's it going? I will be there. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and hopefully there'll be no smoke there tonight. Did you get a lot of smoke where you live yesterday?
Smoke was bad yesterday, and I ended up down on the Cape because the Toby Leary and his group had a fundraiser down on the Cape, so I was down there for it. But yeah, it was very smoky, but today the sun is out. I'm loving it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah,
the sunset was pretty cool last night.
Well, it's Trump's fault. Of the smoke, right? Yeah. Did you see that? Andrea Campbell, the attorney general, says it's all Trump's fault that we had the smoke yesterday.
It's all, well, anything that goes wrong is all Trump's fault. But I would just like to point out, because we did have the smoke, if it was Trump's fault, it wasn't as hot as it was supposed to be. So therefore, does that mean Trump was cooling the country?
Global cooling, Trump's fault. I wonder if she'll file a lawsuit against him. I think she's up to about 60 now, maybe. But
She spends all her time suing Trump and not, you know, suing the legislature for not complying with the audit. I mean, you know, she's got her priorities all mixed up. Yeah. I think she's now suing Paramount.
Paramount Studios.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know.
Right? I care about it. Do you care about that? Does that affect you, your daily life?
No, it does not. So I'm kind of, you know, like, what is, I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, that, you know, where she spends her time. You know, she should be, you know, how about take a look at the parole board that's released 40, you know, murderers back onto our streets. I mean, why not do something that, you know, that could be effective? And look, everybody's told her we want that legislative audit. And she is the one that will not sue the legislature and hold them accountable. They've broken the law. We passed the law. Okay. And this, it's crazy that we don't have that audit. What is in, you know, what are they hiding, Barry?
Here's my theory. She won't do it because she needs Mariano and Spilker's support. When Maura Healey runs for president and in 2028, and Andrea Campbell wants to become governor, she needs support. What do you think?
You think that's what it's about?
Maybe Congress?
I don't know. Andrea Campbell have another brother that wants a deal for building something in Massachusetts for lots of money? I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't know if that's the reason. I actually think more likely that the legislature controls her budget. And so, you know, so maybe that's the reason why she's not doing it. I don't know. I mean, they're just all in the same swamp up there at the State House. And it's, you know, it's time to send new blood.
So speaking about swamps, last week when you and I spoke, we had the signature gate scandal. That's now gone by the board. The state Supreme Judicial Court has determined that the Ans are not on the ballot. Michael Walsh is on the ballot. Ballots apparently have been printed. I know Sean Oliver sent me a copy of one yesterday, or they're being printed. I guess he had a copy of the final draft, and he's on it, and he's the only Republican candidate for lieutenant governor. But we have a brand new scandal now. We have Courthouse Gate. And Courthouse Gate, you know, and this is the courthouse that the Massachusetts Division of Capital Asset Management and Maintenance awarding a contract for a $600 million courthouse in Springfield to be built with taxpayer money, but the taxpayers wouldn't own it. It would be leased back to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts for a period of 40 years, potentially 60 years, for $2 billion. And two of the principal owners of this, very well-connected people who I'm sure you and many other folks know, Conan Harris, Ayanna Pressley's husband, and the executive director of the Massachusetts Convention Center Authority, guy by the name of John Barrows. So I guess out of 10 or 12 contracts, boop, they got it. Maura Healey said, hey, this is a good deal. This went through the procurement process. No problem. This is good for taxpayers.
Right. I mean, this is after the didn't they learn from the Service Plaza Gate scandal that, you know, you should be, you know, looking to put the best interests of the people first? This smells really, really bad. First, the guy that runs the convention center, I believe that's a full-time job. Right?
Okay, but I would hope so.
Yeah, it's a full-time job. So he's got this business building courthouses now on the side. I think that would be a full-time job, right? So now the state is being sued by the people that lost the bid, and that's the only way we're finding out about these problems. Remember, the Service Plaza Gate, we did not find out until the people that lost the bid and had actually, they had offered $1 billion more revenue to the state over the service plazas. They went on the airways and did advertising to say that they kind of got screwed out of this whole, out of the contract. Okay. And so, you know, now we find out from this, some audit or anything like that. We find this out because the people that didn't get the bid are suing over it, and they brought the attention to this. Otherwise, this would have been all swept under the rug, and we're talking about billions of dollars here once again. I mean, this Healey administration is not only incompetent, but it is majorly corrupt.
Oh, my God, this has to be the most corrupt administration that I can remember in the governor's office in a long time. The legislature's always been corrupt, what makes me laugh, too, a good belly laugh is, you know, here we have Conan Harris, the husband of Ayanna Pressley, who was selling pencils on the sidewalk just a couple of years ago. Now, all of a sudden, he and his wife are worth $8 million. He's had all of these wonderful jobs that have been, jobs that he's gotten through appointments and various other things like that, government appointments. And this guy just got out of jail, didn't he? Didn't he just do 10 years in jail for selling drugs or something like that? Yeah, all of a sudden, this guy's like a multimillionaire getting all of these lucrative state contracts.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to be married to a congresswoman.
Right? Wow.
I mean, you know, this shows you how much backdealing that there is in there, right? And one of my clients is term limits, and I cannot tell you how much I believe in term limits, because if you had term limits, people wouldn't be buying off. And look, that's what's going on. They're buying off the congresswoman by giving to the husband. I mean, and this would not, you wouldn't have to have this happening if, you know, a member of Congress was only going to serve so many years. There wouldn't be this type of stuff happening. So It's another, you know, while Anna Pressley hasn't been in there forever yet, it does make the point of why we do need term limits so that people are not buying off, you know, family members of these members of Congress. And this isn't the only member of Congress that this has happened to, right, that all of a sudden they become millionaires overnight because they've got the connections. I mean, look at Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell's wife has got all the connections because, you know, because of who she's married to. Yeah. And she's gotten all these consulting gigs and things like that. And it's because of who she's married to. It happens on both sides of the aisle, and it's wrong.
So Tim Dunn writes for the Boston Herald, Pressley's net worth has exploded from an estimated $12,500 during her time as a Boston city councilor in 2018 to a whopping $8 million in 2024, according to Open Secrets. She receives a congressional salary of $174,000. And again, the hobby was just making license plates until just a few years ago. I mean, you know, how does
well, he must have gotten some great training to be able to do this this big deal out there, this courthouse, huh? They must have some quite training in the prisons.
So Healy was called on by Mass Fiscal Alliance to condemn this contract award and to rescind it, and she defended it instead. Right. You know, is this being a good contract? And I mean, the look on this is bad, but you know, she keeps getting away with this stuff. I mean, there was the no bid contracts for the Maura Healey no-tell motels during the immigrant crisis, right? She was getting she awarded I don't even know how many millions of dollars in food contracts, no bids.
Food contracts, the transportation contracts.
Yeah.
I mean, look at, you know, the Service Gate Plaza contract was not on the up and up. This is the most corrupt administration that that I can ever remember. I mean, Mike Dukakis was incompetent, Deval Patrick was incompetent, but I mean, this administration is just, you know, siphoning off billions of dollars and sending it to their friends. I mean, that's what's going on.
So there was a shooting in Maine on Monday morning. Apparently, somebody who was in the country illegally, 26-year-old kid with a kid. I feel badly for the family, but this guy was here illegally. There's some questions. Tom Holman was asked about it last night on, I think it was Laura Ingraham's program, about how this guy got a work permit. And he said, I'm not quite sure how that happened, but he did. He got a work permit. But he was here illegally. ICE apparently went looking for somebody and maybe mistake this guy for somebody else. But when they went to question him and stop him, the guy hit the gas and took off. So he was running from the authorities. Turns out he is, was questionably here. And so it doesn't justify being shot. But I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, it is what it is. It's all part of the world we live in these days. But so Maura Healey even found a way to blame Mike Minogue and Brian Shortsleeve for this. Mm-hmm. In her statement to the press yesterday, she said, and that's what Mike Minogue and Brian Shortsleeve need to know, that they're running against me now. OK. And as I said, they are pro-ICE. They support ICE's tactics. They support President Trump. And they're not standing up for families and communities, she said. And said that if you don't stand against ICE, and if you don't stand against Donald Trump, then you can't be and shouldn't be governor of Massachusetts. So we've been waiting for the pivot to happen here. This, as far as I know, is the first time Healey has actually mentioned Shortsleeve and Minogue by name. And now she's making the connection with Trump. If you support ICE, you support Trump, then you shouldn't be governor of Massachusetts. So this is a pivot. This is some advice somebody's given her. What's going on here?
Well, I mean, her numbers are not good. So, as you know, Trump is not popular in Massachusetts. So she's trying to make this an all-Trump election. And it's kind of like where to start with this. First and foremost, right, we wouldn't have these raids. We wouldn't have this problem with ICE if they would just allow, cooperation between police and law enforcement and ICE, right? Half of this stuff wouldn't be happening right now. And it's because of their policies that are endangering people, because they want these raids. Maura Healey wants these raids because she will not allow our local police to cooperate with ICE. I mean, in which makes their job far more difficult. And then she goes on to say, like, if Shortsleeve is working with Trump, well, look, Brian is going to get on a plane and go down there and see the president when needed to help our state. Maura Healey won't do that. She puts politics
first. She can't do that because she has burned so many bridges, and the president's not interested in hearing what she has to say.
Right. And it's cost our state dearly.
Yeah.
The most recent example is in the last week is that we didn't get disaster aid for the blizzard. Trump's administration denied it. Is that a surprise that, you know, Maura Healey, who spends her days either suing as attorney general or ripping him a new one and not thinking about, look, you know, there's some issues I disagree with him on. There's some issues I agree with him on, and finding and putting Massachusetts first. No, she puts her political agenda first every single day. And now it's cost us because we lost all that money for the blizzard, right, that we should have been able to get because she will not talk to the president. She will not be a rational person. And so this is one of the reasons why we need Brian Shortsleeve. In response to Maura Healey not willing to talk to President Trump, Brian Shortsleeve sent a letter to President Trump saying that, you know, that we could really use the aid up here. And he is making the case for Massachusetts if she will not make the case for Massachusetts. So even if, let's just say you're a Democrat out there listening to this, Maura Healey has cost you more money because she will not talk to Trump, and we lost all that disaster aid because of the blizzard.
Well, I mean, this is a freaking loony bin from top to bottom. I mean, you know, between Maura Healey, Elizabeth Warren, Ed Markey, Seth Moulton, the whole gang of them, there isn't one of them that can get the president's ear. Now, I mean, look, we need to get the president's ear from time to time. And again, you can have disagreements with the president of the United States. That is allowed. You don't have to be of the same party. You don't have to be the same philosophical background. But when you need to speak to the president, you should be able to do so. But our Looney Tunes have spent so much time burning all of those bridges that it makes it impossible. And then, as you mentioned, when you do need help, you can't reach out. How do you reach out and call the Nazi and say, hey, Mr. Nazi, can we have a murderer or, whatever? Can we have some money to help us now? What's it going to get
you? Look at Gretchen Whitmer. She has been down there 3 or 4 times to meet with the president to put her state first, right? To put Michigan first. I mean, she's done what she's needed to do. Even Mondami, right? I mean, who's, you know, the ultimate Democrat socialist whack job. Even he's gone down to D.C. to talk with Trump about what's best for New York City. Look, Maura Healey has found that her political agenda is more important than the state of Massachusetts, and therefore she shouldn't be running for re-election. She probably should be running for head of the Democratic National Party. I mean, because that's where her heart is, about pushing their political agenda, not doing what's in the best interest of the Commonwealth.
All right, so here we are 9 days after signing the new budget for fiscal year 2027. We've got our first supplemental budget request from the Healey administration, $100 million for schools. And so this is going to be another banner year, I can see, in terms of supplemental budgets.
Right. And look, this was another Healey headline grab. She filed the supplemental in the middle of July. And we know what happens on July 31st. The legislature's done for the rest of the year. So we have a good chance of actually this supplemental budget not getting passed. But, I mean, this was all about her grabbing a headline because, schools, I mean, all across the state of Massachusetts are hurting because of, you know, the lack of local aid. In the city of Taunton, they had their local aid cut by $400,000 because they put higher assessments on Taunton for the charter schools and for school choice. So, I mean, so that city is getting $400,000 less. So that's happening all across the state. So she's filed this bill to say, oh, help is on the way. And it's just about grabbing another headline, hoping people are like, oh, yeah, she cares about education. She cared about education. She would take the excess revenue that's coming into the state and she'd send it back in the form of local aid. But she didn't. In fact, she didn't do one amendment to the budget. Can you believe that?
No, she didn't veto nothing.
Anything. thing.
Yeah, she must have plane tickets again like last year. It's going to get out of here fast, you know. But, you know, the thing is, and it's become common practice for these politicians now, they pass these budgets that they know are not going to meet their spending desires, but they look good. And, you know, here's our number, $63 billion. And then they know they're going to come back for supplements because they intentionally underfund the budgets of all of the departments all the way through. So they know they got to come back and get more in order to get what they want to spend. You know, one case right there is the SNAP benefit programs.
Well, they've also been doing this, if you remember, for the illegal immigrants, the housing, right? Yeah. The emergency assistance. So they say, you know, I mean, was it what, a year ago, she was like, it's only going to cost $500 million this year. And I predicted, I said, you know, as soon as we get through November, we're going to see another $400 million added to that. And that's what happened, right? I mean, they went and did a supplemental budget. So they do this to kind of hide their overall spending. And when we have good times, which, you know, more revenue comes in, that they go and spend it through these supplemental budgets instead of putting it into the rainy day account or having the money to send back in a refund, I mean, or sending more money in the form of local aid to communities so that our property taxes aren't skyrocketing.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But that flies directly in the face of the Constitution, which requires that we have a balanced budget in place by the start of the fiscal year, because they know it's not balanced. It's all done with smoke and mirrors, and it's intentional deceit, and they know it is. And they just keep doing it. The supplemental budget will be funded with projected and unbudgeted revenue from the state's 4% surtax on households that bring in over about $1 million a year. Boy, I'll tell you, that fund keeps getting tapped for all kinds of stuff. And they better tap, 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 because an estimated 100 people are leaving the state every year. I mean, every day, right?
Every day. Yeah. Yeah.
And guess who's leaving?
There's going to be no taxpayers left soon.
Yeah. Right. There's not going to be anybody left. And, you know, you look at this is something I was going to bring up tonight. You look at, you know, Massachusetts, you got the greater Boston Food Bank talking about in the most recent report, 1 out of 7. Massachusetts residents, that's about 15.2%, if I remember correctly, are on food stamps. You know, 1 out of every 7 Massachusetts residents is on food stamps. Now, how is that even humanly possible when we are supposedly, you know, raking in money like nobody can believe? We're supposedly one of the great states, you know, all the great money, great opportunities, everything's going wonderful, the economy and all that. Yet 1 out of every 7 residents is on food stamps. Does that include illegals or immigrants?
Well, I don't know if that includes illegals, but remember, it was 2 years ago that at the time it was Kelly Dooner, city councilor, but now Senator Kelly Dooner found that they had added, you know, in 1 year's time, 700,000 people to, you know, the EBT cards. And they tried to say, well, it really wasn't that many. And they had, you know, they said maybe it was only, you know, you could, you know, 500,000. But I mean, she did find that the number of cards went up by 700,000 in 1 year's time. And I do think it was mainly due to the illegal immigrants. But I mean, yeah, I mean, we're in a depression if 1 out of every 7, you know, people in Massachusetts are on EBT.
How do you make a case for reelection with those kind of statistics?
Oh, you should have seen what she wrote for in Mass Save. She did a survey for Mass Save talking about, like, how she has worked to make Massachusetts more affordable. I'm like, what planet is she living from? you know, what the governor's going to do is she's not going to run on her record. She's going to run on one, scaring every woman on abortion. Right. That's why we need to nominate Brian Schwartzley, because he's pro-choice. Mike Minogue's pro-life. But she's going to run on abortion. The other thing she's going to do is she's going to run on the hatred of Trump. Right. You've seen it out there.
She's got Trump's Tourette's. She's got Trump's Tourette's. Trump, 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 Trump. That's how she does. Yeah.
Right. So she's going to change the subject. It's not going to be about what she did to utility bills. It's not going to be about her wanting to triple the auto excise tax or tax candy or tax, you know, prescription drugs. It's not going to be about her record. She is going to make this all about Trump. And I'm hoping that Trump is going to put his focus, get this war over with, get our gas prices down so that we're, you know, he's looking good for November.
So you got Mike Keneally, who dropped out after getting only 14% at the convention, is keeping $1 million in loans in his campaign account, even though the state election officials say, well, you shouldn't do that. He's going to do it anyway. Is that advisable?
Well, that's what Mike Keneally is up to right now. It's a pretty well-known, you know, it's not, you know, pretty well-known secret out there that Mike Keneally endorsed Mike Minogue because he does not believe that Mike Minogue can win in November. And Mike Keneally wants to run again in 4 years. So he's personally doing everything possible to sabotage Brian Shortsleeve, who has the best chance of winning. So this is all about a game in 4 years. And, it just shows such a lack of caring. I mean, we got to win in November. We have to win in November. So I just find it frustrating. And Keneally probably, you know, shouldn't be talking. I would go back and start thinking about cleaning up your record, such as if you read through the depositions that were filed in the signature gate, it was him and his team that hired Ann Manning Martin's signature guy, Joe Bronski. It was his fault that she got, you know, all these fraudulent signatures. And I wonder, you know, there's strong belief that he probably would not have made the ballot too, because there's strong belief that Bronski was doing signatures for him as well.
Got to wrap it up. Holly, we will see you this evening out in Taunton at Cable Access. Now, this is going to be broadcast live on the local Cable Access. Yes. I haven't had a chance to look yet, but I assume they have a website and folks will be able to maybe stream on it. Do you know?
Yes, they do. The TCAM has a website. So, and I think we'll be posting it shortly.
Okay, great. So folks in New Bedford and Fall River and all that, they'll be able to pay attention to what's going on.
Yep, and we're going to try to ship it around to other cable networks as well.
Awesome. Yeah, I better wear a clean shirt then, so. Holly Robichaud, appreciate it, my friend. Thank you.
All right, see you tonight.
All right, Holly Robichaud, political consultant, commentator, and strategist for the Short Sleeve campaign. Short Sleeve joins us in the 2 o'clock hour today, and we're going to talk a little bit about the debate tonight and some other stuff going on. I would love it if Mike Minogue shows up. I don't think that he's going to, though. But we'll have to see what happens. That would be nice if we could have a debate tonight. 508-996-0500. And we're coming back after this. Stay tuned.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get 2 hot dogs, chips, and a soda for just $6.
Back to Barry Richard on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
And welcome back to the program. It is 12:45. It is a Thursday afternoon. I keep wanting to say Wednesday. I don't know why, but it is Thursday. Tomorrow is Friday. Big night downtown tonight. Of course, it's Joe Jesus' 50s night. And there is also a new concert, Thursday concert series, that's going to happen. It started last week, and it's scheduled to continue tonight as well downtown. So I don't know if we have 2 events going on, but Lively Up is scheduled to play. And tomorrow, of course, is the Friday concert series downtown. But don't forget Joe Jesus' 50s night tonight, and you'll be able to hear the music. We do every year now, for the last few years anyway, we do music, soundtrack. They call it the soundtrack to Joe Jesus 50s night. I believe it kicks off at 3 o'clock right here on WBSM. That's been the tradition. And for about 9 hours, you'll get to listen to fabulous 50s music. For those who can't make it down there, or maybe I've had more people while I'm there tell me, oh, my God, I just listened to the music on the way down. I couldn't wait to get here. So if you are homebound or somewhere else and you can't make it, you'll be able to hear the great music tonight. The soundtrack to Joe Jesus' 50s night right here on WBSM, 1420 AM or 99.5 FM. You can get it on WBSM.com or the WBSM app. Brought to you in part by Cardi's Furniture and Mattress, Cottage Street Motors, Shooting Supply, Leach Auto, and my good buddies over at Riccardi's Restaurant. Here's a plan. Go to Riccardi's first, get some great food, and then head downtown, right? check it all out. But in any event, thank you for being here. And I'm doing 50 things at once, as I always do. And I shouldn't do that. I always tell people, pay attention to what you're doing. And that's what I'm going to do. So I'm going to stop paying attention to 50 things and do what I'm supposed to be doing. All right, so some great stuff here. Talking with the Holly about the courthouse scandal. Maura Healey has officially had something to say about this, and she's defending this. I mean, think about this, people. This is just, this is corruption. This is political corruption. You've got a contract that's awarded very quickly. Very quickly to very connected people in Massachusetts. Big money contract. And the contract was handed out by the Massachusetts Division of Capital Asset Management and Maintenance. And it was handed out on July 2nd, the day before the long weekend. July 2nd was a Thursday. The 3rd was the Friday, and that's when many people celebrated 4th of July. Of course, then you had the long weekend, and so you hope stuff like that gets buried in the dump process, right? And then the long weekend. So this contract was handed out to a company, Liberty Junction. It's a partnership that includes Kojo Partners that is co-owned by the husband of Ayanna Pressley, the congresswoman, Conan Harris, and another guy who's the interim executive director of the Massachusetts Convention Center Authority, John Barrows. Hello? Stink, stink, stink. Whoo! Barrows is currently the interim executive director of the Massachusetts Convention Center Authority. It's a powerful state agency whose board of directors includes senior officials from the Massachusetts Division of Capital Asset Management and Maintenance, the group that handed out the contract in the first place. It's a $600 million taxpayer-funded contract. You build a courthouse in Springfield that would be owned by Ayanna Pressley, Barrows, and some other folks who would then lease it back to Massachusetts. Have you ever heard of a courthouse in Massachusetts being built and then leased back? To the Commonwealth? For an estimated $2 billion over 40, potentially 60 years. So Maura Healey thinks this is a good deal. Maura Healey told a press scrum yesterday. The Springfield Courthouse. This is a sick building. I supported getting a new courthouse for Springfield. The people of Springfield deserved that. And this was a competitive procurement process. It was a competitive bid. And the project that was chosen was the one that cost the taxpayers the least. I stand up for taxpayers. I'm all about supporting whatever is going to cost the taxpayers the least amount of money, as somebody who wants to protect taxpayer dollars. Oh my God, her nose was grown like Pinocchio when she was saying all of that. There were, my understanding, 12, maybe 14 bids for this contract. I understand the contract was awarded almost immediately. Several of the contractors whose bids were rejected have filed a lawsuit saying the process is rigged. I don't know about you, but I think that when you have a congresswoman's husband and somebody as politically connected as John Barrows, who's the interim executive director of the Massachusetts Convention Center Authority, appointed by the government, right? That maybe you skip their bid? Call me stupid, call me naive, but man. This one stinks. 508-996-0500. Got to grab the break. We're coming right back.
Hey, broadcasting live from the Carefree Home Studios, this is WBSM. Carefree Homes, your home improvement experts. Roofing, siding, windows, and more. Get a free quote at carefreehomescompany.com. Carefree Homes. Trusted. Local. Family.
All right, welcome back. 12:57 is our time. It is a Thursday afternoon, so just get a message from City Hall here. And state officials issue drought declaration triggering citywide ban on non-essential outdoor water use. This is for the city of New Bedford. It says state environmental officials have declared drought status in all regions of Massachusetts, triggering a ban on non-essential outdoor water use in New Bedford. State Secretary of Energy and Environmental Affairs Rebecca Tepper recently declared a level 2 significant drought status for all cities and towns in southeastern Mass and Cape Cod, as well as central and western Mass. The northeast region of the state was announced to be in level 3 critical drought under this declaration, and in accordance with the conditions listed, the city's Water Management Act statement, all non-essential outdoor water uses, namely sprinkler systems, are prohibited. The restrictions will remain in effect until further notice. The restriction is considered precautionary. The water level in the Assawamset Pond Complex in Lakeville and Rochester, the city's drinking water source, shows signs of drought but remains healthy. So there you go. We have a ban on non-essential outdoor water uses in the city of New Bedford going forward until further notice, right? But at least it's not smoky today yet. It's supposed to get smoky later on. I don't know if you heard, but Andrea Campbell, our illustrious attorney general, is blaming President Trump for the smoke. Yes, he's sitting there with a giant cigar and he's just blowing smoke all over us.